We've been talking about the Holy Spirit for weeks now, and I can preach and I can teach, talk. I thought about this message, and we're going to talk today about the verbal gifts and praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, prophecy. What is that? And I can talk about it, I can teach it, I can show you charts, I can give you the Greek, the Aramaic, the break it down, but only Jesus can baptize you and fill you with the Holy Spirit. And I pray, I said, God, I can teach and I can talk, but Lord, I pray that you fill some folks. Some people may have a cup that's almost empty, and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit today. That's my prayer today, that you would allow him to fill you till your cup is overrunning today in Jesus' name. But I want you to go to this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to stand. Would you stand in honor and respect for the word of God this morning? Hallelujah. And God has blessed our church, and we are wanting to spill out. We've been talking about fill to spill, and we do want to spill out into our community. Let me just say this for the watch weekend. If you're here as a parent or a guardian and you need a backpack for your kids, listen, everything we do for the community, we start with here. It's for you too, amen? So if you're here today and you can't give, you know, into the backpacks, you're on the other end of it. Well, I'm here to let you know we want to bless you first. Amen. We want to bless you and you get you a backpack, as many of them. Those things are like $60 these days. How many know that? Amen. Well, we want to bless our kids and family. So, but you're available for that. We do want to be a blessing. And I'm going to speak all next week about the watch weekend and the mission of the church and vision and Acts chapter 4. I ain't forgot about Acts 4. We started there last week, but the Holy Spirit interrupted the service and we just had a moving of him. I pray he does that again today. But today we're going to talk about praying in the Holy Spirit. And as I said, these 9 messy miracles in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul was writing this letter to a church in Corinth, and they were messy. They came out of pagan worship, they were wild, man, but they wanted the gifts of the Spirit and they wanted to understand tongues and all of that. And Paul was bringing some order there. And so he gives a list of these 9 gifts, and we call them messy gifts because the Holy Spirit, he isn't always tidy. How many know he goes to work, he's gonna make a mess. But if we can hang on through the mess, there's a miracle there. I said, if we can hang on through the mess, there's a miracle there. When you get a renovation done in the house, it may look like a mess, but if you will hang on, the renovation's always looking better. I talked about that last week. And when we talk about tongues, what is it? It's a lot of messes about the gifts of the Spirit, especially the verbal gifts. But I want you to know this one has been attacked probably more than anything because it's one of the most powerful and beautiful gifts that God has given to you and I. The ability to pray with your spirit and not with your mind. That's what it is. And every time someone was filled with the Holy Spirit, they prayed in what we call tongues, a prayer language. And so Paul gives 3 chapters in 1 Corinthians, 12, 13, and 14, especially 14, and even 15, where he's explaining what that is. And I know this is a Pentecostal church, and I understand the background. You know, when you bring friends to Pentecostal church, you got to almost explain everything all the way through the service. You know, this is why we do it. I know how that is. Well, hopefully we have the kind of church where you can do some explaining, but my prayer is that you have an experience and an encounter with something that isn't like regular church. Somewhere down deep in here, you feel something that I don't understand everything, but man, I got peace like I haven't had. I feel good vibes. I got that energy. You use all kind of different terms, but I'm telling you, it's the Holy Spirit in the presence of God. And he wants to correct some attitudes. He wants to redirect some thinking. He wants to get some things out of us. Remember, he's that contractor that goes to work in our lives to make us more like Christ. And so he uses the verbal gifts to do it. And I want 1 Corinthians 2 because Paul sets the table before he gets to 12. And this is a beautiful scripture that talks about going deeper into the things of God. And that's what tongues are and prophecy. And that's what the gifts of the Spirit are. Don't be weirded out. You might have seen some crazy stuff about it. You might have had some experiences that were like, I don't even know what that was. Well, listen, we're going to clean up some messes. That's what the Bible is for. You don't go to YouTube, go to the Word of God. Let me say that again. Don't go to TikTok. Go to the Word of God. Those are all great avenues. We're on those social medias, and we use them for a tool to reach people. But if you want to know and understand something, you're going to need the Bible, and you're going to need the Holy Spirit. And that's what chapter 2 is so beautifully. Chapter 2, Paul says, verse 9. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. But as it is written, watch this, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Can I just stop right there and preach for 20 minutes right there? How many know that? That's beautiful. It says you haven't seen, in other words, you haven't even seen or heard what God's got prepared for you. Some of you got it. That's amazing. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard what God has prepared for his people. Woo, that's good. Get a hold of it. Verse 10, but watch this. I love it. Verse 10 says it's not a pipe dream. It's not something that's out into the heavens, but God has revealed them to us. How? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit, everybody say Spirit. That's the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. When you say yes to Jesus, he comes into your life. Watch what he does. He searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Tell your neighbor, it's time to go deep. He's wanting to go deep. It's time for us to get out of the shallow end of the pool, some of us, and get into the deep things. The Holy Spirit wants to bring us into deep things. Why? Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. He simply says, no one really knows what you're thinking except you. I look at faces right now, but you only know what you're thinking this moment. You can fool, we can fool people, we can smile. Some of y'all may be smiling right now, but inside you're struggling. And Paul says, only your inner man knows what your thoughts really are. The same way, only the Spirit of God knows the deeper inner thoughts of what God is thinking. Not church, not religion. Only the Spirit can bring out what the, now look at verse 12. Now, and the good news is, we have received the Spirit. Not the spirit of the world. Oh, so the world has a spirit. Yeah, that's why God's Spirit is called the Holy Spirit. There's all kind of spirits out there, brother. I don't know if I'm going to finish this message today. There's all kind of spirits out there, brother. The Bible says, test the Spirit so you know what. How many want the Holy Spirit? That's what it's on. You can have all them other spirits. Divisive spirits, arguing spirit, hateful spirits, racial spirits, angry spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the peace, the joy, the love, the self-control. Come on, I need that Holy Spirit. Paul says, you've received that Holy Spirit. Why have we received the Holy Spirit? Watch this. So that we might know the things that have been freely given to us, the deep things. These things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Oh, the Holy Spirit teaches now. And this is how he does. He compares spiritual things with spiritual. Here it is, verse 14. Now, this is how it is when we don't know Jesus Christ. Before we come to faith, we're called the natural man. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Raising your hands, praying, prophesying, tongues, it's foolishness to the natural man. But when the Spirit of God comes into your life, Paul is saying he begins to light up some things and illuminate some truths. And things that used to scare you, things that used to confuse you, will begin now to make sense and even draw you deeper. Who does that? It's the Holy Spirit. We've been talking how Eve will even change your desires. The things you used to love, you will hate. And the things you used to hate, you will now love. Amen. That's what he does. The natural man can't understand it. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord, but he may instruct him. And I love this last part, but we have the mind of Christ. We got to just put it on. Thank you for your word today. Have your way in this service as you already are, and we may know the deeper things of you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell three people it's time to go deep. Give them a high five and you can be seated. It's time to go deep. It's time to go deep. Time to go deep, come on. Hallelujah. A little sidebar here. We got so much going on in our church. This week, this young man right here, Zechariah, is getting ready to go to Fine Arts. Our Fine Arts, as you know, is part of the health. Yeah. He's going to be, it's not competing, it's presenting, but it's competing. And he's going to be doing the solo worship part. He's been mentored by Pastor Steve, and Pastor Steve's taken him down to Columbus, Ohio, where there's going to be thousands of students. Many of you went last year to Fine Arts, and let's just pray that he will use his gifts, which he is, for God's glory, and God's will be done. Amen. Father, we just pray for Zechariah. We thank you for the anointing on his life. God, he's got a lot of things going on in his personal life. His school, his college is starting. His grandmother's in the hospital. And God, he's getting ready to go to Fine Arts, but he's in the house of God worshiping you. I pray your anointing, Holy Spirit, use him, go through him. And God, edify him, build him up, God, and your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brother. Got that hair looking nice, too. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to give you the benefits of praying in the Holy Spirit as we get there, hopefully, Lord willing, this morning as we talk about the tongues and prophecy and the prophetic. You know, communication is probably the most important part of our human experience. Communication is. And we first start learning how we first start learning what to say, what words mean. You know, that's the first thing you learn as a baby is start communicating. And my grandson just turned 2, and so he's learning how to communicate. And bless his little heart, but he's not a very verbal kid. So Miranda taught him some sign language, and so you'll be playing with him and tickling him, and then all of a sudden he's doing this, and I'm like, Miranda, what does that mean? This means more in sign language. It just blesses your heart. And so he's trying to learn these words. The other day he brought me into the kitchen and we got these little child locks on the cabinets. And he takes me to the child locks and he's big enough now to turn them on and off himself. And so he turned it on and closed it. And we try to get him, use your words, but he likes to use other things. And he's pointing to it. And he's going like, he's wanting me to give him praise and affirmation. So I was like, oh, good job, good job. He went, More communication. You learn what he's learning, what words mean, and he's only got like one, and it's, and that means everything from bird to blueberries in Nona's freezer. But you learn what words are as you get older. You start learning the significance of words, right? You start learning. I was thinking about this. You become a teenager. You start learning your words matter. And so you start learning how to have private conversations even, right? And you start way back before we had text messages. When I was a teenager, we learned like Pig Latin, you know. And, you know, and I never got Pig Latin, but I did learn Chinese double talk. That's actually a real thing. How many got Chinese double talk people we ever hear? How many's never even heard? Amen. Well, okay. Look it up on YouTube. You can't go there. It's actually called gibberish, but it's an actual language where you put A-G in the middle of every syllable. My cousin Kimmy taught me this. I don't know if she watches sometimes online. And I used to flow in it. So it's hege, sege, mege, wege, dege, wege. Giga, yiggin, morgan, yiggin, yiggin. I just said good morning. Amen. I used to be a lot better at that, but it's something that you used to flow. It's a real, real language. And we used to use it because we talked about people in the room without them even knowing. But now, of course, we got private messenger, right? We got social media. But that's the same thing we used to do with Pig Latin and Chinese double talk. You just all have it. No, we have it now. But it's, you learn how to have private conversations, right? You got group texts, right? And then you have some folks in your group text that you don't want them to know what you get ready to say, so you have another group that don't include everybody in your first group. And then there's even some in that group that can't hear. You got to go deeper to another group. How many know what I'm talking about? So those are all examples of what to say. And when we start learning the significance of words, but what we don't learn is how to speak. We don't learn how to speak and communicate what is in our heart. We struggle with that. We all the way till we get into relationships. And one of the biggest problems and causes of division and tension is miscommunication. Melinda and I do a lot of marriage counseling, and we went through this Prepare and Enrich, and it was the first thing that we learned, and we use it a lot, and many of you are familiar with them kind of communication drills. But the two parts that make good communication is assertiveness and active listening, right? Assertiveness is the ability to share your heart to your partner and ask for something, but you gotta learn how to include your feelings, your heart into it. And then the other side of communication, which makes great communication, you have assertiveness, and then you have active listening. Active listening is you are listening to what is actually being said, and you're understanding the heart behind what is being communicated. And it's hilarious. So this is a little exercise, and we had to do it. This was like 4 years ago when we got trained in it, and we were married for like 28 years. And I had to repeat back what I heard my wife say. You're already laughing. Married 28 years, and I failed it every single time, Now, it's not all men. A lot of women, they all fail it too. So we do this exercise to repeat back, and what the whole thing is about is trying to learn the heart of what somebody is saying, because this causes more tension and fights and misunderstandings than anything, especially through communication with text messages, right? There's so much ambiguity in text messages. You're not using the right emojis. You're using the wrong initials, the wrong abbreviations. You don't have the right tone. All of this, and it starts fights. I mean, big fights and big tensions. How many's ever been misunderstood through a text message? What does all of that have to do with tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy? Everything. We just read together about seven verses where Paul is saying, until you and I get the Holy Spirit operating in our life, we are gonna misunderstand God, we're gonna ignore God, we're not gonna be able to recognize when God is speaking to us, we're not gonna know what to do, we're not gonna understand the heart of what God is trying to say. From day one, God has been trying to communicate, listen, not the words of God, but the heart of God. Hear me today. He wants us to get the heart of why we should not worship no other gods. He wants us to have the heart of why we don't give in to the desires of the flesh. He wants us to have the heart and know the heart behind honoring our parents and honoring all these commandments in the Word of God. What makes the difference in a religion and a relationship? What will change the script is you will get what I'm telling you today. And this is where we need the Holy Spirit, because only the Holy Spirit, we just read it, only the Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God. Only the Holy Spirit knows the mind, the will, and the heart of God. So when you're praying and you hear tongues and you read it in the Word of God, don't skip over it. It's not gibberish. It's not Chinese double talk. It's not emojis. It's beautiful. It's powerful. It's the ability to pray the mind, the will, and the heart of God. Whew. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us understand our heart. That's why God had the prophets in the Old Testament live out their messages. They could have just stood up and said, thus saith the Lord, and some of them did. But you'll read how Jeremiah walked through the city weeping. He was called the weeping prophet, and he had his arms in the stocks saying, this is what's gonna happen. Ezekiel lived out his prophecy. Omar, Homer, and Hosea, all these great prophets, because God says, I don't want you just to read a word in the book. Oh yeah, God says this. And yeah, anybody can do that. An atheist can read the Bible. A person that doesn't even believe in God can take this book. And many archaeologists have done it and found great things that are buried exactly where the Bible says it was. It absolutely is. But if you want to see the transformation power of God working in your life and my life, when you begin to read the book and it illuminates and it comes to life, God begins to speak to you about that situation at work and at home and all these different things, then you're going to need the Holy Spirit. And this text tells us that you need to get filled. The more filled with the Holy Spirit, the more of the Holy Spirit you have in you, the more it's gonna make sense to you. I spent all of that time, hopefully, to redirect this thing about tongues and to get you to see how important it is to pray in the Holy Spirit. Some of you might have been told that the Holy Spirit doesn't speak, that God doesn't speak. And that's for another time, and it's not for us today. Just look real quick on John 16. I have it on the screen. Jesus said this. He said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. Watch this. He will not speak on his own authority. He says it again. But he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. That's predictive. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. How many know the Holy Spirit still speaks? Jesus says, look how many times that Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to speak. The problem is we're not listening. The Holy Spirit's speaking. He wants to speak to us even right now. He wants to speak to you in a personal way. He can speak to you in an intimate way. He can speak to you in a public way. But the Holy Spirit is always speaking. God is always wanting to speak to us. Many times we just don't have the ear to hear, and we misread what he's saying. And there's where the Holy Spirit begins to come to make sense to us and help us understand the things that he has for our life. So 1 Corinthians 12, try to teach this today. I got a lot. I overprepared for this message. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Amen. But we're going to let the Lord have his way today. So in 1 Corinthians 12, and let me just say this again. Many people, they skip over this chapter. I know somebody that went to Bible college, went to seminary, and he's in a very nice Bible seminary. And the professor got up, and they're going through the book of Corinthians, this book that we're reading, which I'm going to be going through the book of Corinthians on Wednesday nights next month. Be here at 7 o'clock if you want to go through this book of Corinthians. So this college professor at a Bible school gets to chapter 12, where Paul begins to talk about tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy. And he literally stands in front of the class. He takes a deep breath and he says, we're going to skip over this part. And he did. I don't skip over chapters. We don't skip over chapters. You shouldn't want me to skip over chapters. You shouldn't want to skip over any chapter in the Word of God. Everything in this Bible, God wants us to know. He wants us to learn. He wants us to understand. He speaks to us. He speaks through us. And he uses them many times. He uses the verbal gifts. And we've been going through 9 of them. These are the last 3. The verbal gifts, what are they? Different kinds of tongues. Everybody say different kinds. Different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. What's the purpose? They help us say something from God. Remember, the revelation gifts help us know something. The power gifts helps us do something. These verbal gifts helps us say something. Say the deep things of God to his people. We can communicate through the prayer language that God gives us to God, and our spirit prays, and is beautiful, and it's a wonderful gift. So there's different kinds of tongues. Let me just teach this. I'm not going to go real deep into this part of it. We offer classes here. We just went through a very good class on tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. John Brevere's, we used that curriculum. It was great. Many of you went through it. It was really, really good. We did it through the winter. I'm not going to do that here. And he divides tongues into 4 categories in the New Testament. I'm not going to go that deep. There's literally... to understand it better, there's 2 uses of tongues in your Bible. You ready? Public and private. Everybody say public. Public and private. The public is what we call the gift of tongues. It's something we name as man in the 20th and 21st century to understand them a little bit better. There's the gift of tongues, and then there's the grace of tongues is what they're called. Public tongues and private tongues. And so the gift of tongues, for instance, is the definition of what it is. You find it in 1 Corinthians 15. He addresses the body of Christ. When you are gathering in public, like we are right here, he talks about how this gift needs to operate. And he says the gift of the tongues, this is what it is. It's the supernatural ability to speak in public in a language unknown to the speaker. But this gift requires the gift of interpretation. So what he's teaching here, and he brings it out in Corinthians, and that's what you got to do. You got to sit down and go through the Word of God. And he says this is a beautiful gift, and when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke with tongues. But there were times when the gift of tongues will be used in a public setting where you will speak in a language that you have not learned. Now, it can't be Chinese double talk if you know Chinese double talk. That's, I mean, God can speak through it. I mean, I don't know, but he can speak. He spoke through a donkey. He spoke through a rooster. He can speak through anything. How many know that? Amen. But I'm not saying that's what it is. It's a heavenly ability. It's a supernatural ability. Now, if you're bilingual, that don't mean you can. That's a language you learned. Tongues simply means language. Everybody say language. Every time you read the word tongues, it means language. They spoke in languages. And this has been prophesied all the way back in Isaiah 28 when he said, I will speak to this people in stammering lips and strange tongues, but they will not listen. Isaiah wrote that several years, 4,000 years ago, wrote about it. And then it was fulfilled in the New Testament when the Holy Spirit came. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to pray in this tongue language. And so the gift of tongues, when it's done, Paul said, when it is done in public, you need to have a gift of interpretation so everybody understands what's being said. And so he says, and not everybody will be used in the gift of tongues in public. That's why he says it in the body of Christ. He's talking about the body. He says, we'll all speak with tongues, we'll all interpret. He says them together. Why? Because he's talking about the public tongues. He's talking about the gift of tongues. And not everybody will be used in public to give an utterance of tongues. But everybody can be used and receive a prayer language when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll get to that in a minute. But in public, he begins to say, there needs to be some order done. And I love this in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, therefore, brethren, be eager to prophesy. Be eager to be used of God in these verbal gifts. Don't shy away from them. Don't say, oh, that's for Pastor Eddie. That's for them Pentecostals. That's for them charismatic. That's for the apostles. No, he's writing to carpenters. He's writing to metal workers, sailors, fishermen. Because God can use you at work. We've been covering that. God can speak to you at work and say, hey, I want you to go. He'll just highlight somebody at work for you to go and pray for them or text them. I tried texting somebody the other day in autocorrect. Three times, it made it worse every time. And I'm saying, how many know you gotta stop? Don't ever use Siri, amen. That voice thing, it really comes out wrong. But if you will stop and spend time with God and say, Lord, speak to my heart and use me, you'll be surprised. He says, be eager to be used by God in the prophetic gifts. And some of you have flowed in the gifts of the Spirit before. You were filled. You went to camp and spoke in tongues and got filled with the Holy Ghost. You were using the prophetic gifts. And you just kind of leave them alone. I don't really need them. But the Bible says, be eager. Watch this. And do not forbid speaking with tongues. I mean, there's some churches that don't talk about what I'm talking about. And the Bible says, don't forbid it. He says, don't forbid it. So do I obey God or do I obey what's popular? Well, this is a political year. I need to talk about politics. I need to talk about how many know the Holy Spirit can help you in every area of your life. If we don't get this right, you ain't gonna get nothing else right. Amen? And so we gotta have discernment. We don't go by everything on fake news. I mean on the news. The news media and everything else. I mean, those are just talking heads. You got to have discernment when you sit and you watch anybody up there. Hallelujah. I move back out of that. Some years, like, go more, go deeper. Do not forbid speaking with tongues. But he says this, everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. So let me just say this before we move on. When we do public gifts of the Spirit, the Bible says, let there be one, let there be two, let there be three at the most, someone interpret, and then judge and test if it lines up with God. So we have the gifts of the Spirit in operation here. And I just want to make a comment. I want us to continue to be used in those gifts. And we had many different ways that it's done in order. We used to use a microphone. We had it on the front row. We kind of got away from that. Well, I told our prayer team and Mary and them that we're going to get back to using that microphone. And those of you that are using those gifts, we want you to come up and let me know. We have a microphone and we want our live stream people to hear those prophetic words. But that's how we do it in order. And I don't let just anybody prophesy. You can, but if I don't know you and I don't know what you're saying, and you know, if you're saying, Pastor Steve and I, he's gonna raise, we already know. We've done this for years. He knows the signal. And we're going to go right back into worship. Hallelujah. We're going to go right back into worship. I was at a church years ago, and it was the Y2K year. That's how long. And I was at our church, and I remember this guy prophesied from the back. I mean, there was like 3,000 people in our church, and the church we came out of, a lot of people, and a guy in the back is prophesying, "Thus saith the Lord." And then he's going, "Y2K is going to destroy America." And it's going on. And that's why, Pastor, you know, over, that's why we do that and stuff. And so, but you're going to have a mess here. But that don't mean you throw it all out the window and say, never prophesy. No, he says, allow it, but let it be done in order. So we do it in order, and we let that flow. And the Holy Spirit, if he speaks to you, and if he speaks to you even Saturday night or whatever, and you got a word, come talk to me about it. If this is a gift and you're new to the church and you've flown in this gift before, you have flowed in it, come speak to me. I want to know you. I'm not going to talk about prophecy, but let me just mention this. The scripture says to know them that labor among you. And so let me just give a little advice, some pastoral advice. You should be careful who you allow prophesy over you. You should be careful who you allow to speak into you, because there's a lot of different spirits out there. There's a lot of different crazy stuff out there that's going on. The Bible says you will know them by their fruit. Hebrews says a leader is not self-appointed, but it's someone that has a lifestyle that follows their faith. And so I don't let anybody pray over me, prophesy over me, unless I know them and I know their fruit. Where you go to church at, brother? What do you do at your church? Well, I don't go to church. I am the church. We are the church, but okay, so Jesus invented the church. Jesus started the church. Jesus loved the church. Jesus died for the church, but you don't got to go. Somebody, Pastor Eddie, preach it now today. I'm going to help you, because you get some weird people out there speaking things in your life, and they may have a gift, but the proof is in the fruit. Somebody preach that for like 12 weeks. Right, Pastor Stephen, I can tell you some stories. Remember that one? I got a word for you. We went to this place. I could tell you a lot of bad stories. And this person was like, I got a word for you. I got one too. It's bye-bye, adios. When you read in the New Testament, when people were flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, like the Apostle Paul, Philip, all these guys, it was powerful. Agabus the prophet came down, and the Bible says he came from the Jerusalem church. They knew who he was. And he took a belt, and he says, thus says the Lord, whoever owns this belt, and he tied his arms. He said, whoever owns this belt is going to be bound if they go to Jerusalem. And the people were like, whoa, what a prophetic word. And Paul said, you read this, I love it. Paul says, excuse me, but that's my belt. He got the belt back on. He said, I agree with what you said, but the Lord already told me that I'm going to face hard times and persecutions, and none of these things move me. What is he doing? He's saying a prophecy will confirm what God has already said. Prophecy will confirm the word. Prophecy will confirm. It's made to reveal the heart of God, not to be some weird thing. It's to get you to be more. And I love what Paul said. Paul didn't redirect his life because of a prophetic word. He didn't relocate his job. He didn't relocate his family. He didn't do anything out of the ordinary because one person prophesied. Hear me, River of Life, in 2024, some of us will uproot everything over one prophetic word. The word of God said, let us be rooted and grounded in the word of God. Let somebody we know begin to get wise counsel and prophetic words to us, so we may know them that labor among us. Thank you, Pastor Eddie. You helped me. You're welcome. Everybody on our prayer team, we've been vetted. Nobody comes up here unless I know they're walking with the Lord. They're filled with the Spirit. They know God. And we're all flawed, so we can get it wrong sometimes. It's possible that we kind of get caught, and that's, you know, it's not like God's going to zap you down. I don't know. I have some grace there. There's a growing period. But man, this people are giving words, especially in the 90s. It was real bad. Everybody traveled everywhere to get a word. I got to go over here to get a word from God. And you start living by these prophetic words. I got to get a word. He's prophetic. And you ain't read your Bible in 6 weeks. And I'm just telling you, as a pastor, if you don't know your Bible, anybody can say anything, thus saith the Lord. And you don't know what the book says, you're going to say, oh, okay, and you're going to get misled, and you're going to get confused. Is this okay, Dad? Am I preaching it? Help me, Jesus. I wore some comfortable clothes. I want to preach it today. I want to let the Holy Spirit have his way and speak in our hearts. Okay, so private tongues. This is what I want to get to, private tongues. What is the prayer language? When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, every time they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke with tongues. Sometimes they even prophesied. And it didn't say, and there was an interpretation when they were filled. Why? Because they begin to pray in their prayer language. There are times when there's interpretation. There are other gifts of the Spirit. Like I said, I didn't go into all of them, but there's another public gift that God will speak to you in a language you don't know, but someone else knows, like at the day of Pentecost. And that don't happen all the time. Just like the Holy Spirit, when he first came in Pentecost, he came with wind, fire appeared. How come that, does that happen every time? No. That happened like that because it was unique. Watch this. And it was the introduction. After that, you look through the Word of God, and everybody that was filled, they didn't have the fiery tongues or the wind. Sometimes God will manifest in powerful ways like that, but they always filled with the Holy Spirit. They would pray in a prayer language. The grace of tongues is what we call it. What is it? It's the supernatural ability to speak to God in a prayer language unknown to the speaker. It's the ability for you and I to pray in a language that you don't know, because our biggest problem is not really the devil. It's our stinking thinking. It's our mind. It'll tell you, this ain't real. You know, just like when you got saved, you didn't really get saved. That ain't real. This ain't that. God ain't with you. I mean, it's our stinking thinking. And so God has given us an ability to pray with our Holy Spirit that goes around our mind and prays directly to God. That's what tongues are. That's what the prayer language is for. And it's for everybody. It's not weird, it's not crazy, it's the ability to pray in a language that you don't know. Here are the benefits. Let me run through some of them. Here's Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says, "But you, beloved, edify," everybody say edify. "Edify. Build yourself up on your most holy faith." How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit, is actually one of the weapons in Ephesians 6. The whole armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, right? If you keep reading that, he says, and also a weapon is praying with all prayers, including praying in the Holy Spirit. It is a spiritual weapon that you and I can use. But here he says it helps us to build up. It helps us to edify. That word edify, look at this word edify. I looked it up. The original word there means to promote growth in Christian wisdom, happiness, and holiness. How many know that you can pray in tongues and you can pray in the Holy Spirit, and it's something that you can do, and it will begin to strengthen you from the inside out? I pray in the Holy Spirit all the time. Whether I go and have to do something serious, something big in the community, I get called from as a chap, big things happen. But little things, I did a wedding yesterday. I prayed in the Holy Spirit. Before I got, whenever you get up and talk to people, pray before you go to work. Pray in English, pray in your language. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he prays with the understanding. That means he prays in English. Lord, help me today. Help me to live for you. I pray for my son. I pray, God, praying. And then Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I will also pray without my mind understanding. I will pray in the Holy Spirit. You see what that's like? That's something. And today we need some help in our lives, and in our prayer lives. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us pray. I love Mr. John Ashcroft. You remember, George, speaking of politics, you remember, here's my political point. Look how quiet. Y'all remember W. George Bush? Okay. Can I talk about him, or? He was the president during 9/11. Great guy. You know, George Bush, a good guy. And he had a guy on his staff, Attorney General John Ashcroft. John Ashcroft is a tongue-talking Pentecostal Assembly of God. He's a powerful man of God. And I heard him at some of our general counsel sessions, and he always did communion. And if you know John Ashcroft, Attorney General, he's alive today. He still speaks at our conferences. He's known for one thing, and that's worship. And when the White House first heard about he's a Pentecostal, they would say to him, "Are you going to bring a tambourine into the White House?" And he said, "No, I prefer a piano." But I love this. He would bring a keyboard into the White House and into his, and he says every morning before he would go meet with President George Bush in the Oval Office, he said he would pray it in the spirit and pray to God and begin to pray, play and worship God on that keyboard, and it would begin to strengthen him for the day. He would begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I love his quote. Jan Ashcroft says this. He says, every believer needs to experience the pardon of God. This is always his message when he preaches. They're all peace. The pardon of God. That's pardon your sins. Amen. The peace of God, the presence of God, and most certainly the power of God, which gives us strength for every day. Come on, somebody. Because he said, as being in the White House and being Attorney General, he didn't even know what his day would look like, but the Holy Spirit would prepare him. In fact, after we had 9/11 happen, he began to pray and seek God. He talks about this all the time. He sought the Lord and said, Lord, we need to end terrorism. We need to get a hold of this. And God gave him the words of knowledge. This is our Attorney General. Gave him through the Spirit revelation and knowledge of where to find terrorist group cells. And he single-handedly led a task force to dismantle and capture and dismantle over 100 terrorist cell groups in the United States. Holy Spirit, let's continue. What does he do? He helps strengthen us. He helps us pray. Romans 8 says, now in the same way, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. There are times when you can pray, oh God, have your way, Lord. I don't know what to pray. And there's other times when you're going to be in situations and you don't know what to pray. And you don't know what to pray. Just a few years ago, my wife and I was in the hospital and we prayed for somebody in our church. Their mother was on her deathbed, elderly woman, and she was getting ready to go, man. She was down to like 80 pounds, probably less than that. Her blood pressure, I've never seen a blood pressure that low. It was in teen digits. It was so low. And her husband was there, the family, they brought me back and she come and got me. We were gonna say our last prayer. And I looked over at her husband and I said, I don't feel like saying goodbye. I said, what do you want to pray? He said, well, it's my birthday in 2 weeks and I'd love to have her here for my birthday. And this was a genuine man. I don't have time to give you the context. These are good people that love the Lord. And I told my wife, I said, come on, we're going to pray for a miracle in this room. And she had 60, 70 pounds is about what she weighed. It was bad. The doctor just walked out of the room with the curtains and it was the nurse assistant was in there. She had a mask on. And I remember that because we began to pray. And Melinda began to pray in the Holy Spirit. She just began to pray and began to get loud. And that lady, that nurse began to pray. She began to pray. I don't know where you saw her mask move. She brought it down. We began to have a Holy Ghost time. And this is exactly what happened. I watched it with my eyes. Her blood pressure began to go do, 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 do. Right up like this. It happened right in front of us. She began to wake up like this. And the nurse ran out and got the doctor. Here come the white coat. He come in. He goes, I was only gone 5 minutes. What happened? I said, the Holy Ghost is what happened. The Holy Ghost is what happened. The Holy Ghost is what happened. I said, the Holy Spirit. She said, hey, what happened? I said, we prayed and the Holy Spirit happened. You know, she came home a few days after that and she made it through his birthday. In fact, she lived another 2 or 3 years. Give God praise. I don't know what we are praying when you pray in the Holy Ghost. I mean, there are prayers that are like, God hears our prayer. If that's all you can pray is, God, help me today. He's there. It's not a fancy, oh, my Father God, and candles and all of that. That's religion. You talk from your heart, and you talk to God, and you cry out. He will answer, and he will hear. We just sung the song. But there's another level, the deeper things of prayer that I'm telling you about is this prayer language. It's not weird. It's not something to be afraid of. It's something that God wants you to have because there's situations that you're going to need that's going to go a little bit deeper. There are things you don't understand and you don't know what to pray. And this scripture says he will help us pray. Whew. Are you ready? Are you ready to pray? Another one in the Bible. Well, what do you say when you pray in tongues? I love this in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, for he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but he speaks to God. For no one understands him. Well, I don't like speaking in tongues because I don't understand what they're saying. They're not speaking to you. Again, you know, this is just something, I'm not saying you go running into Kroger and grab the microphone and start praying in tongues. You're not going to be received. They're going to be like, what you talking about, Willis? So again, back up to order. And every time you saw the apostles pray in the Holy Spirit, every time you saw the apostle Paul on the Senate floor talking in front of rulers, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't out of control. The Holy Spirit doesn't overpower, he empowers. And he'll empower you to pray in the Holy Spirit. He'll empower you to prophesy. And my granddaughter says, amen. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. I'm going to close with this. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, the Bible says you can pray and even ask God to show you what you're praying. And if you do that, I pray in the Holy Spirit all the time. You know what he does? He'll send sometimes pictures. Many of you will come up in my mind when I'm praying. Family members, a guy I met here in the community, faces, names will come up. What's happening? God is showing me I'm praying for that person. And it's mysteries. It's something that the enemy doesn't know what you and I are saying. I love this story, and I'm closing for real. In World War II, we were in war with Pearl Harbor and with the Japanese and all of that. And the Japanese were very clever people, very smart. And they had English-speaking people that would intercept our every move. They were listening to us on the radios and our U.S. military, and they could translate what we were saying. Well, the U.S. military got a little smarter, and what we did is with the help of the Navajo indigenous Native Americans, the Indians helped us teach Navajo to our U.S. military. True story. And the U.S. military taught them Navajo language, and they would speak in Navajo, and the Japanese could not understand us, and we began to gain momentum, and that's actually how we won the war. Do you know that God has given you a language that your enemy does not know? Can I tell you that God has given you a language that will bypass your enemies, that will bypass that thing that's been causing you to get stuck, that thing that's been in your way, that he'll give you a language that only you and God knows, and you will begin to advance, and things in your life that you couldn't get breakthroughs, things that you couldn't get prayers answered. I'm telling you, this is why it's been attacked so much. This is why some of you think you don't need it, and the enemy has controlled the narrative in the Pentecostal church. It says you're going to be this, you're going to be that. I'm telling you, you're not. You're going to be more powerful. Come on, you believe that? Will you stand with me today all over this building? I want to finish preaching and start praying. Start praying in Jesus' name and want the Lord to have his way. I looked and I prayed last night and I said, God, I don't want to just do all this talking and preaching, Lord. Only you can baptize. Only you can give us that. I don't teach you the language. Okay, another misconception. Some churches teach you to say, like you learn Chinese double talk. You don't repeat and say, hege, mege, dege, sege. That's not how it works. Nobody in the Bible did that. They didn't even know it was tongues when they got in the upper room in Acts 2. Jesus didn't say, go wait till you speak in tongues. He said, just go wait till you get filled. They had no idea what was going to happen. But they waited for 10 days and they kept praying and seeking and saying, God, I want more. Remember, we want to go in the deep end. If you're in the shallow end today, I'm almost done. You can go back home. Jesus loves you. I love you. Keep coming. I want you to grow. But this is the deep end kind of a pull message for us today. Okay? And they kept praying and they said, God, I want more than just thank you for another day. Give me my bread, my daily bread. Lay me down to sleep. I pray my soul you keep, whatever it says. I want to go deeper. And they waited for 10 days. And the Lord said, people will get filled if they will allow themselves to empty out so I can fill them. The reason why many don't get filled is because we're full of other things. Some of you are listening to everything I said, and deep down in your heart, you're like, yeah, maybe one day. And full of other things. But if you're really wanting, Jesus stood up in John 7:37. He interrupted the service. He said, hey, if anybody is thirsty, let him come and drink. Jesus said this. He yelled in church. He said, if anybody is thirsty, let him come and I will give him a fountain of rivers of living water that will flow out of his belly. Woo-hoo-hoo. What would you say if Jesus said that right now? Well, he is saying it right now. So those of you that are thirsty and want to be filled this morning, I want to ask you to come out of your seat. I want to ask you to come up here and fill this altar and just leave your doubts and leave your fears. Just come up here and fill this altar and just lift your hands to the Lord. I can't fill you.
Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.